You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Justin Zarian here. I just want to say, if you guys like what you hear in this review, if you like what you hear on Digital Noise, on Highly Suspect Reviews, on any of our shows, please consider being a subscriber. For $2 a month, you get access to a whole ton of exclusive content through our subscriber forums. We got The Breakfast Pub with all of our discussion on news and trailers. We got The Gathering, this great party show, very reminiscent to the old party shows from Spill.com and all those other sites. We got a whole lot of great content down there, and you guys would just really enjoy it. We also want to give a shout out to our sponsors at Oscar Blues Brewery. They've been a big supporter to the site lately, and they're helping provide Chris with all the beer to supply at The Gathering and our special parties. Just a big shout out to their Dale's Pale Ale, which is the original craft beer put in a can. It's their big calling card, and they have built a big brewing company out of it. It's supposed to be really, really good. Give it a shot. And with that, tune in for this review. I hope you enjoy it. Lorenzo, cue the music. Okay, we're going on to Hearts Beat Loud, the newest indie darling with Nick Offerman.
Well, as someone who, let's see, the last three movies I've seen are probably Infinity War, Solo, and Deadpool 2. So it kind of feels nice to have this wholesome, sweet little slice of life movie. Well, especially after the Jurassic Games.
Ugh. Yeah, this is about as far from the Jurassic Games as you can get. In fact, it's I would go on to say, for as much as we hated Jurassic Games, I feel like I equally love this movie.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny because this is the newest movie from Brett Haley. You may not be familiar with that name, but he's been around for a little bit. He recently did a film that a lot of people at One of Us love, The Hero, with Sam Elliott. And just like that film, and also the film I'll See You in My Dreams, which he did back in 2016, this is a very small, independent, like, I believe you said it best, it was as slice of life as you can get into the story.
Well, yeah, in that it feels fundamentally grounded and, you know, it doesn't have any, I guess, movie narrativeness. You do really feel like you're just kind of looking at into a father and daughter's, well, it's a family that's lost its mother, so it's a...
Yeah, so let's boil down the plot. So the basic plot of this film, Nick Offerman, it plays Frank Fisher, who runs a record store, the Red Hook Records, or what it was called?
Yeah.
He has a daughter, played by Kiersey Clemons, who's, you know, super adorable, as she usually is. They lost their mother recently, or at least several years back. The store is failing because, well, he's very old school. He's very much a former musician. He doesn't play by the rules of modern music kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just their vinyl's not selling like it should, at least for him. So it just so happens one day that, you know, he raised his kid to be really into music. He raised her to be really into jamming and such. And during one jam session, they discover that they kind of stumble upon a hit song. And you think that this is the start of a very familiar movie, this kind of stuff, but that's where things start to shift a bit, because you realize...
I wouldn't say it's really a hit, but he uploads it to Spotify, and it gets snagged by, like, one of the algorithms that put it into, like, a new indie music playlist. And, you know, he kind of flirts with the idea of, so, I'm about to lose my daughter, she's about to move across the country, maybe... And I'm about to lose my business, too. And, you know, mother is no longer in the picture. Maybe if this becomes something bigger than what it is right now, she might stay. And that's one of the central tensions of the film, I'd say.
Yeah, which is, it's interesting because it takes a while for that tension to really manifest. Because both of us mentioned, this movie starts pretty slow.
Yeah, and what I found was interesting is there's that maybe like 6 or 7 minute jam session where they write that first song, and I'm not too into indie rock, really. I listen to mostly like metal and hip-hop, but it by the end of the movie it was really kind of winning me over to their style of music, and it played one of their songs over the credits, and I found myself just kind of wanting to sit and listen to it even though the movie was over.
Yeah, no, it really is a very charming film. And what you talked about with the tension, that's really the thing that gets you into this film. Because you realize Nick Offerman doesn't just want to be famous. That's not really his angle with this. He wants to keep his daughter because she's going to UCLA. She's going to go to med school. she's having to, you know, and it's hard for her too to let go because she's developed a relationship with a girl named played by Sasha Lane, where, you know, it's hard for her to let go too. This is all about people moving on with their lives, and you know, whether in middle age or, you know, fresh into college kind of thing. It's really touching because it's done so subtly. Like, this movie, it doesn't spoon-feed anything to you at all throughout this story. Like, there's very subtle hints on certain details. They don't even fully explain the name of the mom or even certain details about that kind of thing. They just, you just assume it. You just, you have implications, and it assumes the audience that's watching it is smart enough to pick up on these things.
Yeah, eventually it makes it pretty clear what transpired.
Well, yeah, no, there's very one overt scene where they tell you, yeah, this is pretty much what happened. But even then, it's done with such a naturalistic tone. Yeah. You know, it's not very movie-ish, and I really like that about this movie a lot.
Yeah, I think naturalistic might be the key word here because, you know, everybody has gone through phases in life where they've had to move or, you know, start living apart from a loved one that they've spent their whole life with. And, you know, I feel like a good slice of life movie really pushes you into a naturalistic type of tone where you can most easily empathize with people in the movie. And that's, and there's a point, I'd say maybe 25 minutes into the movie, where I really started feeling that as you kind of learn more about the dynamics of this family and the feelings that Nick Offerman's character, Frank Fisher, has for his daughter, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's really a great compliment to Nick Offerman and Kiersey Clemons, who I think make a really good pair in this. They're a really good team with his style of acting versus her kind of more, you know, quick-witted banter kind of thing. Or in the way that she's a little bit more energetic than him, but they complement each other very nicely, I think.
Yeah.
And
well, you see a little bit of giddiness from him. Like, there are a few times, you know, on Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson would do that little giddy giggle every now and then when he'd get enthusiastic about something.
Oh, yeah.
And he lets that exact giggle out a few times in this movie when he's getting, like, there's a moment where he's in a cafe and he hears the song that they uploaded to Spotify start playing. And he's like, wait, how on earth is this playing here? This is me. And he's like giggling and like he taps someone on the cafe on the shoulders like, this is us. This is me and my daughter.
Yeah. No, it's very adorable. It's infectious at some point. You know, you just need to get charmed by this. And, you know, it's interesting to see where the other subplots come in. Because I have to say also, this is probably my only gripe with the film is that some of the subplots work really well to play into the themes of the story. But there's a few of them that really feel excessive a little bit. Like,
Ted Danson.
Well, Ted Danson. Okay, so yeah. So Ted Danson has a big cameo in this where he's an old friend of Nick Offerman's because he hangs out at his bar, which Ted Danson in a bar. Who would have thought? It's Cheers all over again. Yeah. But, you know, he's charming. He's affable. You know, Ted Danson's obviously riding off a new career resurgence with The Good Place and Fargo and that stuff. But there doesn't really
curb your enthusiasm coming back.
Oh, yeah. But it doesn't really amount to much. Like, he's just there just to be kind of charming. That's it. And then there's a whole subplot with Blythe Danner as Nick Offerman's mom. Did you ever feel like there was a point to that?
Just kind of to show that she has dementia or something or some kind of issue, I think.
Like, where she's, like, having kleptomania problems where she keeps stealing from people. Like,
yeah.
There's a whole bunch of stuff there. She only has, like, maybe three scenes in this whole movie. And
yeah, it kind of felt like it was just there to illustrate that, I guess it's like it's another problem that he's having to go through and deal with. Though she does have a really sweet scene with Sam where she talks about when she would go from, like, club to club singing in the 50s or 60s or whenever. And
yeah, when she met her husband there.
When she met Sam's grandfather, yeah.
Yeah. No, that was sweet. It felt like it was kind of an excuse because she had previously worked with this director in I'll See You in My Dreams, and that's their connection.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
I feel like that was just an obligation to work with somebody he liked working with.
Okay.
Which makes me so sad. Why wasn't there a Sam Elliott cameo? That would have been great.
Yeah, he could have been other Ron. I reprised that role. Nick Offerman could have given him the death glare.
Yeah. And then there's the other subplot with Toni Collette, where it's kind of the pseudo-romantic tension that goes throughout with Nick Offerman's character, where, you know, I like Toni Collette. I think she's a great actress. Yeah. And that's the only part that feels the most movie-ish, because there's a couple of big, you know, a couple important beats in the plot development that feel very much like, you know, an indie romantic drama kind of thing. And one point I can't really talk about because it's a spoiler-ish moment near the end of the movie where it's like, yeah, this is that scene when the moment's like, oh, everything is all depressed and down, and it feels very much like a movie scene. Yeah. But other than that, though, I think that they have a good enough chemistry with each other. They're very affable.
Yeah.
Now, and, you know, it's just to say this movie also, it's very indie. You know, it's not really high in production value. It's not, you know, it's got some stylistic edits and that kind of stuff here and there, but it's very much made on scale, you know, very kind of, you know, small drama.
And it definitely doesn't need to be any bigger scale than it is. I think it's made for a specific niche, and I think it does what it sets out to do fantastically.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's one of those things where because it's so indie, I can't really give it as high a rating as I would want to, just because it's not spectacular filmmaking. It's very good storytelling in itself. Like, you know, I mean, it's one of the things where it's a great movie if you want to go to an indie theater and you want to, like, you know, just something small, something sweet, especially if you're a music fan and you like this kind of indie rock style stuff. I think you'll really enjoy this. I think this is a very touching, heartwarming story that it's not new, but it's all done well. And I think that's just a good compliment to it. And the guy who does the music is the guy who's pretty much done the music for all of Brett Healy's films before. So, you know, you'd be familiar with his style of tones. And it's really, I think the songs themselves are pretty good. Like, you know, you mentioned the first time you hear the Heartbeat Loud song, you're just like, eh, it's typical indie rock music. But the more that they play it, the more that you get familiar with it, you're like, oh, I really like this. It's very touching kind of thing. So, any other points before we move on?
I would say that the way I'd consider it would be kind of agnostic to the different scales of movies. I think that this is what it is. I'll rate it according to what it is.
All right, and what would you give it?
I would give it, let's say, 8 out of 10 beating hearts.
Very predictable. You know, actually, I'm not too far off from you. I think that's a fair score to say that it's good. It's very good. It's just shy of being great because of a few unresolved plot subplot points kind of thing, and then just some very predictable elements. But I think all the acting's great. I think this is very touching. It's very thought-provoking at points. And, you know, it's just continuing that trend of Nick Offerman doing great indie work. Yeah. So I would give it 4 out of 5 vinyls that I kept trying to look in the background and see which artist I recognized or which albums. Just like, oh, look, there's Iggy Pop. Oh, look, there's that one. Oh, look, there's that one right there. And it was really fun. Now, this movie is definitely made for music junkies. Although it didn't seem like it was promoting a whole lot of artists in this one. Like, you know, they make some token references to a few musicians here and there, but it's not trying to throw out like, well, if you hadn't heard this band or this band or this band.
Well, yeah, it doesn't want to be like a douchey hipster Nick and North Infinite Playlist type movie.
It doesn't want to be like that one douchey hipster that showed up in the beginning of the movie or just like, look, I bought your music on Amazon. It's cheaper than your stuff.
Yeah, it wants to be about them and their relationship and the music that they make together. He has, Nick Offerman has a line early on in the film where he says, life gives you these conundrums and you turn them into art. And that's what this is.
Yeah, it's true to life. It really is. So there you go. People, go watch it. I think you really enjoy it.